After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he has told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners had asked, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When they came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples, I tell you." He replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it was hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an..." embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.
Thank you very much, Madison. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Hiya, can I ask all the kids to come down to the front, please? And as you just come down, I'm just going to give you a family. So there. I hope I have enough families because there's a lot more kids in Clocky than I expected, but it's a good problem to have. So there you go. There you go, Chris. Wow. So what day is it today? The family kind of gives a big clue. Neil sort of said at the start, maybe. Just scream out, honestly, you don't have to put your hands up. Yeah, Palm Sunday. Brilliant. So today is Palm Sunday, and I'm going to talk to you a wee bit about what happened on Palm Sunday. Does everyone have a leaf? Did I miss anybody? No. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about what happened on Palm Sunday. But first of all, I've got a better question for you. Has anybody been to Disneyland? Nobody? Have you been, Chris, to Disneyland? Anybody else been to Disney? Oh my goodness, we need a church trip to Disney, I think. Well, does anybody want to go to Disney? Yeah, that's a better question. Well, I love Disneyland. And my favorite part of Disneyland is the parades. They are so much fun, and I love seeing all the Disney princes and princesses. But Neil told me off in Clocky because I was talking about all the princes and princesses, and he goes, "But there's monsters and there's animals and all these other great things in the parades." But to be honest, the princesses are the best part of it. And no, well, I think they are. But anyway, so you see them, and there's crowds about, and they're all cheering, and you want to see your favourite person that's in the parade, and there's probably big floats and big dancers and loads of other big things going on. Yeah, dragons, wow. And I really, are you part of the parade, Chris? Amazing. So this really reminds me of the parade that's in the Bible and the one that we remember today on Palm Sunday, and that's the one that Madison read out for us. And it's talking about when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And I always think, what were those people thinking? They probably got up really early that morning And because they'd all heard about Jesus and they were like, right, I need a good spot. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to get my spot and I am not moving because I want to see Jesus. And then they might get a bit bored because have you ever waited for something and you're just waiting and you're waiting and you're like, would they hurry up? No, ever happen? Happens to me all the time. I'm just like, would they hurry up? And then finally, they probably heard noise. They probably heard cheering and Jesus was entering Jerusalem. And can you remember from the story what animal Jesus entered on? Yeah? A cow? A donkey? Not a cow, Nathan. A donkey, yes. And can you remember even better what the donkey, like, a bit more about the donkey? Yes, Gilb? A crawl? No, any more? Oh, cloths? Cross? Okay. Well, the donkey was a colt, which just means it's a young donkey. And it even says to us in the Bible that this colt... Are you okay, Chris? Do you want to see? Right, okay. It even tells us in the Bible that this donkey has never been ridden before. Chris, what are you doing? Chris, you find it very hard to concentrate. Right, anyway, we'll just go with it. So it tells us in the Bible that that this donkey has never been ridden before. And then all the people were cheering and they were screaming. he's having a wee rest. He's just having a wee rest. Right, so what we're going to do, they screamed and they praised God and they were praising Jesus because they had seen all these miracles and all of these amazing things that had happened. And it says in the story some of the things that they were saying. They said things like, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So we are going to pretend like we're in the prayer a wee bit and do some praise on ourselves. So I'm going to try, like, split the whole church in half. That includes the adults. You don't get away that easily. So from like here, this side, you're my hosannas. So we're shouting hosanna. That's just what they said in a way to praise God. Just means like we're just praising you, hosanna. And then this side, I want you to shout glory in the highest. So we're going to see who is the best in our parade. Okay? Are you ready, Chris? He's sleeping. Right, okay. So this side, we're going to see who's Anna, and this side, glory in the highest. Are you ready? Yeah? Okay, so after three, we'll do this side. One, two, three. Okay, that was a long hosanna. Right, that was okay. That wasn't too bad. This side, we're going glory in the highest. So are we ready? After three, one, two, three. Wow, I do think this side wins. That was amazing. Well done. And that's what they were doing. They were praising Jesus and they were praising God for everything that they had seen, for all the miracles that they had seen beforehand. And Palm Sunday is the first day of our Easter week. Yes, in the parade too. So they were praising God and they were waving their palm leaves. So that's why it's all of a palm leaf. So they waved their palm leaves. So give me a wave of your palm leaf. Yeah, they were waving the palm leaves and they also put the palm leaves on the ground. And they put the palm leaves on the ground so that when Jesus came on the donkey, that the donkey wouldn't get all dusty. And they put cloaks on the ground too. That was just like a sign of respect. It sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? Like, why would you put palm leaves on the ground? But it was just a sign of respect for Jesus. So Palm Sunday is the first day of our Easter week, as we call it. So it's the first day of Easter week. And Easter week, it starts off really happy, doesn't it? With Palm Sunday, that's amazing. Such good stories, so much praising. And then it gets a bit sad on Good Friday that we remember about Jesus dying on the cross. And it would be really sad if the story ended there, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be that fun and it would not be a good story, but it doesn't. It gets so much better because we remember on Easter Sunday that Jesus defeated death and he rose from the dead. And that is amazing. And that is what we are celebrating. We should be praising God and waving our palm leaves because this isn't just for Easter. This is a story that we need.
Oh. Aileen's going to come now and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for those affected by Friday's siege and shooting in southern France, and we pray for their friends and families as they mourn the loss of their loved ones. Please protect our Queen and royal family and bless Harry and Meghan as they prepare for their marriage. We pray for a loving and happy marriage for them both and pray that they will know your presence in their lives. We pray for resilience and strength for our NHS staff who do an amazing job in extremely challenging circumstances. We give thanks for the talents and skills you have provided them with. We pray for agreement and mutual understanding amongst our politicians at Stormont to enable vital decisions to be taken regarding the finances of our young people's education and our health service. Father, we seek your blessing and protection of our church family here in Trinity and pray for healing for those who are suffering from both physical and mental illness. We also pray for those living with dementia. We ask that you will watch over them and make them feel safe in their vulnerable state. Lord, as the number of family carers continues to rise, we pray that you will provide the strength, stamina, and endurance that is needed to help them cope. We pray that all carers will know you and your power. Lord, for those in our community who are struggling to deal with circumstances totally unimaginable to us, we pray that you will be their refuge and their strength. For those who are struggling with their faith, we pray that you will intervene and wash away all doubt so that they can again draw close to you and feel your love. We thank you, Lord, for being our Saviour and offer these prayers in your precious Son's name. Amen.
I just want to say a big thank you to Harold for leading us, to Madison for reading, and Alex for her talk again, and Elaine for reading with us. And it's great that people are willing and able and are gifted to help out in the services, and I do certainly appreciate it. This Easter, the title for our services is Cry Out, and today we're looking at how the stones will cry out. On Friday we will look at how Jesus cried out on the cross. Next Sunday morning, God willing, we will look at how the ladies cried out in celebration, and then on Sunday night, how we should then cry out with this good news. But today, we're concentrating on this part of the story where the stones have cried out. And there was a great picture there, and I was trying to think how I could paint the picture, but Alex painted it far better than I ever could with a great Disney parade. I suppose for me, it would be football. It would be the bus top, open bus top parade with the team that wins the FA Cup. And you see them through the streets, and there's crowds and crowds of people there. But this parade on Palm Sunday was a very different day. There were coats on the ground, and boys and girls, we don't want you copying that. We don't want you putting your coats on the ground for people to walk over. Mummies and daddies will be very upset by that. But that's what they did as a sign of respect for Jesus coming in his donkey, and they brought palm branches as well, and they sang these songs, "Blessed is the King, peace in heaven and on earth, Hosanna," which means save or savior. And this was a large crowd, a large, large crowd of people, probably thousands of people following Jesus. Some were actually going ahead of Jesus as well. They went in before Jesus to tell people that Jesus was coming. That's why the crowds that were in Jerusalem, and there were big crowds in Jerusalem. It was a feast. It was a time whenever Jews had come from all over the country into the capital city for this big event. And they were saying, Jesus is coming. So they all came to see Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And I wondered what all the fuss was about. How did they whip up the crowds? How did they get everybody so engrossed in this man coming in to Jerusalem on a donkey? And Jesus has been to Jerusalem on a number of occasions before, and there was no pomp, no ceremony. He just walked in and did what he had to do and celebrated the feast like everyone else and went home again. So why was this time so different? Well, to begin to understand why this time was so different, you have to actually go back to chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, verse 51, where it will say something like this in your Bible, words to this effect: Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. There was a point in time where Jesus had a determination that he was about to do something. He knew there in chapter 9, verse 51, that the time had come for him to fulfill his purpose. The very reason that he came from heaven down to earth, Jesus knew this was the time. And he set off towards Jerusalem. And in this story, as Luke tells it, and as you read about it in the other Gospels, there's this story that's been unfolded. And if you read, you'll see there's a tension in the story. There's a tension. On one side, we have this great celebration. Jesus is teaching. He's performing miracles. Massive crowds are following him. They're coming from all over the country to hear and see Jesus. And on the other side of the story, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are lurking in the background. They're asking questions, probing questions, trying to catch Jesus out with the answers, because Jesus was saying something different. Jesus was bringing in this new type of religion, which was still worshipping God, but in a different way. And they didn't like it, and they were trying to catch him out. And you'll read those little stories, and Jesus is always able to answer their questions, no problem. And actually, when Jesus is answering the questions, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law become, they look foolish. And then whenever somebody makes you look foolish, what happens? You get angry. And that's what happens here with the Pharisees. They are made to look foolish. They're becoming angry. And even in John's Gospel, chapter 11, we see that they hatched a plan. They put out a warrant for Jesus' arrest. The church leaders could arrest people. Could you imagine if I come round to your house on a pastoral visit as a minister and maybe George with me and a couple of elders, and as the leaders of the church, we were coming around to arrest you, put you in spiritual handcuffs and take you away? That would be very weird, wouldn't it? Any ideas? George is sitting there thinking, I wonder, is he plotting something? George, we're not allowed to do that now. Not that we would want to, of course, or need to. But that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing. They had this plot. They wanted Jesus silenced. And by the time then they come to this triumphant entry, Jesus knows of their plot. He knows everything they're thinking, but he's not hiding from them. He walks in, but he walks into Jerusalem, and he's so popular that the Pharisees can't do anything. They can't arrest him because people are praising him. They're worshiping. So this tension is really, really building. Jesus has become so popular. But why has Jesus become so popular? Let's look at that for a moment. Jesus taught with authority. He taught in a way that no one else was teaching. He had wisdom unlike any other preacher before or since. But it's not because of his teaching that we're told in the passage today that he was coming in and he had all this support and all this popularity. Verse 37 says, the crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. It was the miracles. It was these mighty great acts that captured people's attention when Jesus was doing things. You get some of these guys on TV who are doing tricky things and they make things appear in bottles. Or I saw one the other night where Anthony Joshua put his hand into a boxing glove and the guy says, pick a card. He flicks the cards and he tells him to punch the cards as he's flicking them. And then he said the ace of, I don't know, the ace of diamonds or something like that there. And he pulled his hand out of the glove and the ace of diamonds was somehow in the glove. But those are only tricks. Jesus was performing miracles. Miraculous things. No trickery, no sleight of hand, no diversion tactics. Performing real miracles. 37 of them are recorded in the Gospels for us. 37 great things. But John says at the end of his Gospel, Jesus did and said so many things that the world would not have enough books to write down all the stories. We've only 37 of these miracles. Miracles where Jesus heals people, where he drives out demons from people, where he has control over nature, and where he actually raises people from the dead. And within these 37 miracles, there were four very special type of miracles, four very special miracles. They were called the messianic miracles, things that only the prophesied Messiah could perform, things that only God could do. See, other people could perform miracles. There's miracles in the Old Testament, miracles in the New Testament, different types of healing and different things going on. But there were four very special ones. Jesus healed leprosy. It was such a terrible disease, and it was believed and prophesied that only the Messiah would completely heal people from leprosy. And Jesus does that in Luke chapter 5. Jesus drove out a demon that was mute, a demon that couldn't speak. The reason why that was so special or so important was because whenever anyone else was driving out a demon, they talked to the demon. And what kind of demon are you? So they knew what type of prayer to pray. But if a demon couldn't speak, then they couldn't interact. They couldn't find out how to get rid of that demon. But Jesus was able to cure a man, driving out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. There was another man who was born blind. And this was quite confusing for the people because they linked sin with particular physical ailments. So if something was wrong with someone, it was because of a sin. But this man was born blind. So the question when you read about it in John chapter 9 was, who sinned, the man or his parents? This man's blind. Whose sin is it? Was making this man blind. But Jesus said, it's not about him being blind. It's not about him being sinful. He was blind to glorify God. He cured that man of blindness. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, other people have raised people from the dead. He raised the Jairus' daughter. Elijah raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. But why was this one so special? Because Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. He had been dead for 4 days. And they believed that when someone had passed away, that their spirit somehow hovered in the vicinity for 3 days. And after 3 days, there would be no hope. That was it. They then buried the person. But Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, so his spirit has completely departed. But Jesus raises him from the dead. And these people who witnessed this, they're in the crowd, John tells us. The people who saw Lazarus raised from the dead have followed Jesus then into Jerusalem, have gone ahead of Jesus. They're telling all the people in the city that this Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead, who performed one of these messianic miracles, he is coming. This is why Jesus was so popular. That is why this entrance into the city was so special. But there was opposition then. These teachers, these Pharisees, why were they so opposed? They were the people who were charged with the scriptures, the Old Testament, the laws, the do's and the don'ts. They were in charge of the temple worship, coming to church, how church was done. It was an important job. But they had allowed the importance of the job, it had gone to their head. They were too big for their boots. They were starting to keep all the best stuff. They had the best food, they had the best clothes, they lived in the best places. They'd forgotten the whole humility of serving in the temple and their position. They were so wrapped up in their own wee thing, this religion that they had created, because they'd added to it as well, to suit themselves. They didn't even see the prophecies being fulfilled. They didn't actually realize. The people who should have realized these messianic miracles didn't even recognize them. They were so caught up in themselves. Jesus initially was a challenge to what they were teaching. But by this point, Jesus was a challenge to their position and their authority. And that's why they were so cross. And the opposition to that popularity caused a complete outburst. It's written here, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Really, what they were saying was, tell them to keep quiet. We've had enough. Boys and girls, has that ever happened to you at home? Has mommy and daddy ever cracked up and said, that's enough, stop? There's some mummies and daddies nodding, but the children are sitting going, no. That's a bit like what this was like, only it was for the right reason, for the wrong reasons. When mummies and daddies are telling you to stop, you should stop whatever you're doing. But in this case here, the people who were saying stop, they were in the wrong. It wasn't just the noise of all of this singing. It wasn't even the words of the hymn or the tune of the hymn. Well, it probably was the words. What they were saying, they were giving glory to this man. They wanted the parade stopped. They wanted Jesus arrested. And they wanted Jesus dead. But Jesus makes it clear to them that praise and worship cannot be silenced. He says, if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, does that mean that the stones were going to create a wee mouth and get a set of lungs and start singing along? I'm not sure that's what Jesus was talking about. But it wouldn't have been impossible for Jesus. Jesus has authority over creation. Jesus, when there was a great storm, the wind was blowing and the waves were lopping over the boat and the disciples were afraid, he told the storm to stop and it stopped. Jesus got out and walked on water. He made it solid enough that he could walk on it. There was one time when he caused a fig tree to wither and die just immediately. If we think of God and the creator of the whole universe, he could do it. God parted seas. He spoke through, I'm going to check this. No. Above the windows, I thought that's where it was. Above the windows, we have burning bushes. A bush that was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. It didn't burn up. And God spoke through it. God also spoke through a donkey in the Bible. So God could have made these stones sing, but I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, you cannot stop what has been put in motion. There is a momentum that has been built, and you will not stop it. You can try. You can do all that you think you can do, but it won't stop. God's will is being done here. Because nothing was going to stop Jesus dying for us. That was Jesus' purpose. That's why he left heaven, to come to earth. Nothing was going to stop him. There was opposition. There was betrayal. There was denial. None of that would stop Jesus. But interestingly, there is opposition today. There is denial today. There is betrayal today that stops people accepting this event from being preached or being used in our society. People are still denying that it ever happened. Or if it did happen, there was no purpose behind it. People are still trying to deny it. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, who would probably have been in the crowd on this day, perhaps we should be, as it says here, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices. Maybe we should raise our voices in these days, especially in days when, at Easter, they're trying to take Jesus out of Easter. You've heard the stories about the Tesco eggs or whatever the companies are, de-Christianizing the Easter eggs, trying to take Christ out of Christmas. The world is still opposing and denying what Jesus has done. But they won't stop it. They can't stop it. It is unstoppable. Jesus is unstoppable. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not defeat it. They will not prevail against the building of the church. It's not building a building, of course. Saving people, bringing people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the midst of all the opposition, in the midst of all the denial, people will still be saved. And if we don't share this story, the stones will cry out. Jesus will always get the message across. God will always communicate with people about the good news of the gospel. But as believers, we should consider the cross means for us. We have two crosses up this year, one in front of each place of worship, as a visual illustration of where Jesus hung for you, in your place. We never needed to be nailed to a cross because Jesus was nailed there, beaten for us, young to the old, every single one of us. We should tell it aloud, folks. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, then stop opposing Jesus. Start realizing what he has done for you. And join the praise. Join the celebration. From today, all the way through to your time on earth is up, or Jesus Christ returns. And then for all eternity. That is the promise. That's what Jesus started in chapter 9, verse 51, when he set his face to go to Jerusalem for us. And we are living as part of that journey today, folks. And that surely is a cause for a great celebration. So we will celebrate this Easter. We will remember with heavy hearts what Christ has done. But as Alex said, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story, this part of it anyway, is that Jesus rose again, defeating death for us, for all of us. Let's pray together before we sing our final piece of praise. Lord God, we thank you for this story. We thank you, Lord, that it's not made up. It's not a children's bedtime story simply. It is a story of reality. It's a story of Jesus, our Savior, and what he has done for us. And we pray today, Lord, that you would impress this upon our hearts and upon our minds so that we could steadfastly fix our eyes on Jesus. In the same way that he was determined to fix his eyes on Jerusalem, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and all that he has done. Accept him as our Savior and live to tell other people what he has done and is doing. We pray this in Jesus' name.